you've been on retreat with me before, you know how much I need prayer. So if you would take a moment to pray for me now and just ask for your ongoing prayers throughout the retreat. And if the retreat turns out badly, we all know whose fault it is. And next time you'll know to pray more for me. But if we could pray for each other for just a moment, that we could hear what the Lord wants to say to us. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
We're going to focus this weekend on St. Joseph. March 19th is normally his feast, although no one is more important than a Sunday in Lent, so he gets bumped up a day. So the church will celebrate him on Monday, but we'll be remembering him throughout the weekend. So if you have a chance to go to Mass on Monday, you'll say, phew, just got 3 days of St. Joseph. You'll be so ready. It's a blessing also to start on the Feast of St. Patrick. It's actually my baptismal name, so St. Patrick always has a very special place in my heart, the apostle to the Irish. And there's a little bit of a similarity. We have Joseph in the first reading is, of course, the patriarch Joseph, not the St. Joseph who was the... I really dislike the word human, or the foster father. I prefer virginal father. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But in any event, St. Joseph, who cared for and raised Jesus and acted as the father of Jesus. But the patriarch Joseph, as we saw in the first reading, was sold into slavery. And of course, we know how the story unfolds. It only gets worse for him. But eventually it gets better, and he ends up as the right hand of Pharaoh, and he's the very one who administers the household of Pharaoh. The patriarch Joseph, of course, isn't Pharaoh, but he has all the power of Pharaoh, and he's the one that distributes the bread ration. So there's a nice connection to Saint Joseph, who is not God the Father. Saint Joseph is not the father of Jesus in the before the beginning of time. He works for him, but he has all the power of God the Father. He really acts as the father of Jesus. Really an incredible calling, but that nice similarity. And of course, he's the one who administers the bread ration that we receive here at this table, the bread ration, the bread of life. He's the one who cares for and ministers the bread of life. The patriarch Joseph suffered a great deal in his path to eventually becoming the right hand of Pharaoh and eventually becoming the saving grace for a large part of Egypt and all of Israel. Because of Joseph's interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, he knows to save up food during the time of plenty so that they'll have it during the time of famine, so that those 7 years of plenty fills all of the granaries. Surely the people of Egypt would have sold that grain and would have maybe consumed it, been gluttonous with it, but because he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream, he knew to save and then really saved them from 7 years of famine that would have surely wiped them all out. That started a path of being sold into slavery and then being accused of having relations with Potiphar's wife and then interpreting in the prison and then the patriarch Joseph had to endure so many difficulties, but then God worked all of it to the good. And there's a similar parallel with St. Patrick. St. Patrick, who was taken as a slave into Ireland, worked as a shepherd boy in Ireland, eventually found his way to escape, went to England, was able to be formed as a priest, made a bishop. But that time in slavery in Ireland didn't make him hate the Irish people, but rather to love them. to have a special place for them in his heart. It became the best thing for them and for him that he had been enslaved, he could really say at the end of his life, and brought him back to Ireland as an apostle. And so it's one message that we can bring into this retreat that's very important. All of us have gone through, and maybe at this moment are going through, difficult things. Every one of us. Maybe very difficult things. Maybe some of us would look at what some of you are going through and go, oh my goodness, I don't know how you handle that. We can be overwhelmed sometimes at the difficulties that we bear. But it's good, and a retreat is a special time when we have a little bit more space to reflect, a little bit more silence, to make room for God, that we can make an act of faith and say, I believe, God, that you are bigger than all of my problems. I believe, Lord, that you can turn these things to the good. Whatever I went through in the past, and maybe I still bear the scars, whatever I'm going through in the present, whatever I still could go through in the future, I know that you are able to work all these things to the good, and I trust you because I know you'll do that for me. It's so good to practice that here. Practice your faith. Practice it. Encounter those difficulties. Face them. And make the claim, stake the claim, God is bigger. His victory is greater. We have the patriarch Joseph, when we have St. Patrick, to remind us of that in a particular way today in our readings. And so many examples, maybe people in your own lives, certainly in the lives of the saints. And of course, our Lord Jesus is the ultimate example of the one who turns every cross into resurrection. If we let him. If we want to keep our cross and we don't want him to turn it into resurrection, he'll leave us our freedom. But if we want it, he conquers every cross. I want to make a little comment about silence. I meant to bring the quote with me. I'll have to read it to you tomorrow, but I'll just mention the line that I really love from Mother Teresa. She says, be filled with silence. Be filled with silence, like it's a substance, like you can drink it, like we're filled with water, or when we breathe deeply, we're filled with air. Be filled with silence. This is our chance on this retreat to be filled with silence. And so we're going to have to let some other stuff go out of us. There's a lot of busyness, and there's a lot of stimulation, and some of us might even be addicted a little bit to that stimulation. Turn your phone off. Turn the data off. Turn your brain off, at least for a few moments tonight. Turn it back on when we can engage the mysteries tomorrow. Turn these things off. Set these things aside. And allow yourselves to be filled with silence. So that it's not just enduring the silence, but really being filled with silence. And that helps to correct some things too, because there may be a need for a little whisper here or a gesture there. It's not just about keeping our mouths shut, but we do that in order to empty our hearts of all of the busyness and noise and distraction and static, the superficial waves that are moving through, the crashing surf of the whitewater rapids that are passing through our hearts, and to sink down to a deeper layer where there are still waters. There's movement. It's not dead silence. It's a living silence. Some of you listen to WAOB. There's no dead air on WAOB. There's living silence because God is there. It's prayerful silence. That's what we want to practice here, prayerful silence, to be filled with that silence where we can allow God some space to speak to us. So allow yourselves to be filled with silence. And I encourage you already this evening, just make your way to wherever you're going. And I actually got this from Mother Mary Ann, and I find it to be very true. I recognized it after she said it. I hadn't thought about it before then, but she says, you know, really, a retreat begins after you wake up the first day. So we're all, it's still a lot of churning, and there's a lot of stuff going on in us. And if you just take the chance, set everything aside tonight, enter in, take some silence in your room, pick up your Bible perhaps, start changing the channel internally, and then you'll find that when you wake up, it's like you're in a new place, really settled in, you're here then, and the whole day of adoration, all afternoon into the evening, and a couple of conferences in the morning to kind of get you moving in a certain direction, but the whole day will be so rich. Sunday, it'll be like you've been here for a week, and you'll feel so much better, and you'll be ready then to face whatever comes Sunday afternoon already, and Monday morning, and everything else. But just for this evening especially, let yourself settle down. Don't try to cram too much in tonight, and let yourself settle out and be at peace. But especially let yourself be filled with that silence. And it can be nice, you might want to sit in the chapel a little bit, you might just want to sit in your room. Allow yourself to be human, just to be in the presence of God. Mother gave you single rooms, but I hate to tell you, everybody has a double room because Jesus is already there. And the only choice is to share your room with Jesus. That's the only choice on these retreats. If you want a hotel, you have to go somewhere else. But in these rooms, Jesus is already there. And so you share your room with him. Go and sit. Even if you just lay down right away to go to sleep, allow him to be with you. Feel his presence. He's there with you. So these are ways that we can really enter into this time of retreat. And I'll be speaking throughout the weekend. I'm going to say a few things right now about St. Joseph. My hope is, and I brought a little prayer card for you that I meant to bring with me here, but it's in my room, so you have to wait till tomorrow morning to get that. But you'll be okay between now and then. And a little prayer card for St. Joseph, a little consecration to St. Joseph. And my hope is, it's not a requirement, but my hope is to speak about him in such a way that you could enjoy the presence of his fatherhood during this weekend. Maybe some of you already have a devotion to him. Maybe some of you haven't thought about him at all. But I hope that everybody can just enjoy a little bit the presence of his fatherhood. The fatherhood of St. Joseph is one of the greatest gifts that the Lord gave us. St. Joseph has waited a long time to be able to share his fatherhood with us, because it's so easy to start misunderstanding his fatherhood and his relationship with Our Lady, his relationship with Jesus. And so theology has been very slow to start to unveil the role and the presence of St. Joseph. But we're really in that time that things are solidified. We get that she's the Virgin Mary. We get that. And so they didn't have relations. We understand that. Jesus is born through the virgin birth. We get that. See, it was more confusing in the first centuries of the church. And in some areas of the world, it's still a little confusing. But anyway, we're all Catholic and we understand those things. And so we have the opportunity, the privilege of coming to know the fatherhood of St. Joseph. He's like the Father in heaven, but he has flesh on. And it's one of the things that we like as human beings who have bodies. We like people who have flesh on. We like people who have faces and voices. And St. Joseph has a face and a voice, and he has flesh. But he also has a heart of a father. He has the heart of the Heavenly Father. God gave him the grace that he would need to be a father for God's own son. God entrusted his own son in his humanity to St. Joseph, that St. Joseph would be able to mirror, be a shadow of the Heavenly Father, so that the humanity of Jesus would be formed analogous to how the divinity of Jesus was formed, the divinity of Jesus which proceeds from the Heavenly Father. The humanity of Jesus would be formed by the earthly father of St. Joseph. And so St. Joseph is the father par excellence who has flesh on. And so everything that you can imagine in fatherhood, the best of fathers, that's what you find in St. Joseph. Now some of you, maybe all of you, it would be wonderful, but at least some of you have been blessed with beautiful earthly fathers. I can say that I've been blessed with a wonderful earthly father, really a great, great man, whom I love so much. And every one of us, even if we had the very best of fathers on earth, we all had fathers who were sinners. And so they all had limitations. We also had fathers who weren't able to be with us 24 hours a day. But there's a part of our hearts that wants to have a father there 24 hours a day. We want him to be there at every moment. And some of us even bear wounds because our father wasn't with us at every time. He wasn't with us to protect us. There were times that he didn't provide it for us. There were times that we didn't have access to his guidance, maybe many times. But we can actually find some healing for some of those wounds in the past. And we can also go forward in the present with a father in St. Joseph. St. Joseph, as theologians like St. Francis de Sales and Pope St. John the 23rd said, is also assumed bodily into heaven. How about that? The assumption of St. Joseph. News to some of you, I'm sure. But, and it's not dogma like the assumption of Our Lady. However, I trust St. Francis de Sales and St. John the 23rd. Just me. So, but the point is that as we can have a special closeness to Our Lady because she's already reunited with her body in heaven. And we all need a mother, and we have a mother who takes care of us at all times. It's amazing, no matter how old you get, you still need a mother. And no matter how old you get, you still need a father. And St. Joseph is a father who can really care for us, who can really protect us and provide for us and guide us, and who's there for us at all times with flesh on. In his body, he can embrace us. He can put an arm around us. He can speak to us and affirm us, maybe in ways that we always long to be, but our father never noticed. I've heard so many different stories of one of my friends told me about when she was, 10 years old and ran up to her dad with a picture she had drawn in school, and he was busy with different things and just said, yeah, that's nice, and just kind of pushed her away. Her heart was so broken by that. It's such a little thing, but we bear those kinds of wounds. And the kind of thing we can do in our prayer, I invite you maybe sometime tomorrow just to open the door for this. If there's an area in your life where there's a wound there, and she was able to go back to that place and replay that memory, except instead of her own father being there, she let St. Joseph be there. She was able to show that picture to St. Joseph and was able to get his excitement. Oh, it's beautiful. She was able to hear what she always wanted to hear and what she should have heard. If her father had been perfect, he would have loved her in that way. But we all have fathers who are limited, human, sinners. And so we've got some of those spaces. Those are places that God wanted to love us, but we just didn't receive the love from our human parents, or sometimes it's a teacher or a coach or a priest or so many different things. So some of those memories we can go into, and St. Joseph can provide some healing. And I want to take that back around into the gospel for a moment. We have this parable that Jesus tells in the gospel of a vineyard owner, and he's leased the vineyard to tenants, and the tenants produce some fruits, and they don't want to give the fruit to the owner. He comes to collect. Now, we can misinterpret this parable, and some of us get an idea of God like this, which is very destructive. Like, God is this sort of distant figure, like the government, that just taxes us. All he does is take stuff from us, and he's never satisfied. Maybe we had a father like that, right? But that's not the God that we actually have in the scripture. A better description of the kind of God that Jesus teaches us about, and even a reading of this parable is, and we kind of hear it in this, the owner of the vineyard, who doesn't seem to comprehend why the tenants wouldn't bring the fruit back. So he doesn't say, for example, after he sent his servants and they killed, beat, stoned, he doesn't say, oh, those wicked people, I'm going to send an army and crush them. We hear this vineyard owner who almost has a kind of confusion and almost a touch of compassion. He says, finally, he sent his son to them thinking, they'll respect my son. And that's the kind of love that our Father has. Tomorrow we're going to hear the parable of the prodigal son in the gospel. That's our Father, who just doesn't even comprehend why we wouldn't want to interact with him. Surely they'll respect my son. I'm going to send them my own heart, is essentially what he's saying. Surely they'll respect my son. Because a better image of the tenets, as we look at ourselves, is like little children. I don't know if you're familiar with the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. It's a beautiful catechetical program that's based on some Montessori concepts, principles. And so one of the things that the children do, they'll actually plant a seed as a sign of death. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And they do a little wheat grain exercise and they'll plant wheat. And after some time, of course, it comes up. And the children are so excited to show someone. Right? They want to show someone, look what happened. They probably don't even say, look what I did. Because they know that it wasn't just them, although they're part of it, right? Look what happened. They want to show someone. They want to share it. And that's what the Father wants for us to do with the fruits of our lives, too. He wants us to have a relationship with him that we get excited to share these things with him. He wants you to have the experience this weekend of the fruitfulness of prayer. And he wants for you to be able to come to him on Sunday and say, look what happened. Look at the lights I received. Look at the understanding. Look at the forgiveness I was able to offer. Look at the healing I was able to work through. Or maybe a week from now, when you go back into a situation that requires some patience, like with your spouse or your children or with coworkers or whatever, and you're able to go through a difficult situation and you made it and you want to share it with your Father. Those are the fruits that he wants from us. He doesn't want to extract a tax and beat us down because we didn't do it right. He wants us to be able to share the joy with him of growing up a little bit in our Christian faith, of bearing some good fruit in our lives, fruit that we didn't really have that much to do with. It's his vineyard. They're his plants. He provides the sunshine and the rain and everything else. He's doing 99% of the work, but he's so happy if we're willing to just plant a seed and we're willing to just watch it grow and we're willing to just bring it to him like little children. And he's so strong about this that he makes an absolute condition in the gospel. We often think about judgment and about heaven and hell and how we're going to get there and we think of the things that we have to do, but there's a condition that Jesus gives. He says, unless you become like this child, if we don't become children, there's no room for us in heaven. Because heaven is a big playground. It must be wonderful. Unless you become like this child. But God knows that we can't become children unless we have a mother and a father. And so they're not lacking. We have a mother in our Lady, and we have a father in Saint Joseph, just like Jesus did. God gave his own son, a human mother and a human father, to take care of him. And he gave us the same human mother and the same human father, in addition to the human ones that he gave us by birth or by adoption. He gave us the same Saint Joseph and Mary to take care of us. And so as we grow in that relationship with Saint Joseph, what it helps us to do is become more childlike, to rejoice, to show to our Daddy the things that we've done, the fruits that our lives have borne, to bring to our Daddy the problems that we struggle with, the difficulties that we have, to bring to him the fears that we have that he can protect us and take care of us. No matter how old we are, God calls us to become spiritual children who need spiritual parents. And he gave us Mary and Joseph to do that, so that every day for us can become a day of Nazareth, a day of living with the Holy Family, living with Mary and Joseph, and rejoicing in the new discoveries and the wonderful things that he provides for us each day. So I offer you just those few images. Start to allow a picture of St. Joseph to come together for you. All the perfections of fatherhood. Again, maybe our own fathers showed us some of those points of perfection. Maybe our own fathers were limited in certain ways. Maybe God has made up for it with other people in our lives. I was able to say to someone recently who has a very, very painful relationship with his mother and has really struggled with Mary because his mother's example interferes a lot with that. But he married this beautiful woman who's a fantastic mother to their children. And I said, you know, look to your wife's example. She's the example of Mary for you. And it was like all of the lights went on for him. He goes, oh my gosh, why didn't I ever see that? Of course, she's the image of Mary for me. I said, so just imagine yourself receiving the kind of motherhood that your children are receiving. So whatever it is, we have a sense, it's deeper than anything else, in fact, a sense of authentic fatherhood and authentic motherhood. And those are really fulfilled in Joseph and Mary. And so we can allow ourselves to enter into the peace, the family life, the simplicity, the silence of Nazareth in our time of retreat, and allow ourselves to be brother, sister with Jesus, and allow Joseph and Mary to form us, educate us, teach us, heal us, encourage us, help us to become saints. We can imagine them sitting with us even now, as so many of you have sat with your own children. Imagine your mom and dad sitting with you in this Eucharist and helping you to direct your attention to the great gift that we receive in Jesus, in his body and blood, as Joseph administers to us the bread of life.